there'll be a lot of people in the United States who are in the managerial classes, who are, you know, the CEOs of these multinational corporations. Of course, everybody proposing this global initiative imagines they'll be in that group. And there'll be an increasing number as the gap widens between those who have and those who do not have in the United States. There'll be a very large and increasing mass of the do-not-haves.
There's going to be a revolution, as one of the time travelers, John Teeter, once said on his postings on the Internet. He sees a civil war in the United States.
Well, it could happen. I mean, look today. I'm sure there are thousands of listeners saying, look at the middle-class families who today have to work 2-3 jobs in order just to maintain the living standard they had just a few years ago, much more comfortably. How many people had top manufacturing jobs that were paying them, you know, $20, $30 an hour, including the automobile industry, and today those factories are closed, and they're lucky to find service jobs that pay $10, $15 if they can find them. We've even reclassified flipping hamburgers as a service job. I mean, and the problem is we're creating jobs in the United States, but we're not creating them as we were before in manufacturing or in any of these more expensive jobs our multinational corporations want to send to China or want to send to India. And, George, this is not classic free trade. Classic free trade was predicated on another country having a competitive advantage, maybe more resources in one area or better skills. But the competitive advantage was never predicated on that China would use slaves. If that's the competitive advantage, it's morally wrong.
You're right. Amero, tell me about it. What is it?
Well, the Amero is the idea for a currency for the North American Union, the new regional structure of government coming to place with Canada, the merger of Canada, the United States, and Mexico. I devote a chapter of it in the book to explaining it as the counterpart to the euro in the European Union. And the idea is that we would, as the dollar decreases in value, and part of the plan here is to cause a dollar collapse. The dollar today, as we speak, George, has reached an historical low against the euro. It's never been this low against the euro.
They want that
because when you take a look at the trade imbalances that the United States has, with China having $1 trillion in foreign exchange reserves, 80% of it held in dollar holdings, and China's not going to continue to hold as many dollars. They've announced that. We depend on China to buy our treasury securities, which finance our huge and growing federal deficits. And our federal deficits, which are measured by the gap accounting, the generally accepted accounting principles, as I point out in the book, the Treasury does this once a year. Our true deficit in 2006 was something like $4.6 trillion with a T, not $284 billion. Because when you take into account the full extent of the Social Security and Medicare obligations that we're encountering today for the future to be paid, the deficit, the real deficit of the federal budget, was $4.6 trillion with a T in 2006, not $247 billion as the cash accounting. Any money that comes in, you just spend it on any obligations. But don't worry about the future obligations. It's a lie. That's how the budget is usually represented.
They're not thinking long term. They're not thinking about our children.
And George, the idea is that if the people are going to get their Social Security benefits, they're going to have to get it in a monetized dollar, which means a dollar not worth as much as it is today. And one way to get that is to pay it off in Ameros, to change the currency.
I've got a friend of mine. She's 70 years old, Jerry, lives only on Social Security.
Right.
I help her out with one of her dogs that I got her years ago. And, you know, if she's in trouble, I'll help her. She doesn't ask. She never does. You know, I've got to do something for her birthday and Christmas and stuff. She's the type of person she'll go without and not tell you. But I don't know how she exists on her paltry Social Security check every month. You know how they send you their Social Security statement every once in a while, tells you what you'll get when you retire at a certain age?
I get them every year.
God, Jerry, I looked at that and said, I may not be able to afford an apartment and a car if that's what you got to live on.
Ed, George, and that's paid, and there are millions of Americans listening again tonight who are in this category. They're dependent on this fixed income. Social Security is extremely important. And those checks aren't that huge today. The dollar buys less than it did 5 years ago. What's it going to be like when we can't pay off these huge debt obligations and they get paid in the Amero? They may get the equivalent dollar in the Amero, but what's it going to buy? That's the problem. The fixed income retirees in the United States, as we talked about a minute ago, are in the have-not class.
If you can't pay your mortgage payment, your bank comes and takes your house. And, of course, the house is collateral.
Right.
Now, with bonds, I'm not sure there's collateral, but what do the Chinese do one day when we can't make our interest payments?
Well, the Chinese are increasingly looking at buying assets. They're, by the way,
hard assets, right?
Hard assets, including they'll want to be coming back into the United States and buying up more infrastructure and assets, just like it's being sold off to Sintra in Spain for the Trans-Texas Corridor. China's going to want to play that game. And China's putting a lot of its money right now into military hardware. I mean, they just had their one of their most advanced submarines shadowing and chasing the Kitty Hawk here, just one of our aircraft carriers.
Yeah, yeah.
Very recently, and they've built a whole new class of ballistic missiles. China's just declared that it's got a second strike capability with its new submarines. It has a whole new class of submarines that they've built. We're financing China's military expansion. And we're doing it with our trade deficits, which is also weakening the dollar.
I was talking to Tom today, my producer, who's thinking of getting a new car, and there's a new one coming out. And, he's seriously thinking about it. And he said, but I'm not sure because it's the first evolution of this car. There might be some mechanical problems. And I said, Tom, that's not going to happen. Technology is so good now that what could be a new device is actually a better device than what they've had years ago.
Well, that's correct. That's right. And the plan, though, George, is that we won't be manufacturing cars in the United States. Chrysler's already talking about manufacturing cars in China. Again, they can use slave labor. China subsidizes its currency. China will refund the value-added tax to Chrysler's cars made in China, exported to the U.S., for sale here in the United States.
See, we should make U.S.-made cars tax-deductible if we Americans buy them.
Well, George, that's right. And what you're talking about is getting this free trade on a fair trade basis. Classically, we never would have signed these agreements with China that are one-sided, where China's economic competitive advantage is that they use slaves. And, George, I really mean they use slaves. We saw pictures of the slaves about 2 weeks ago from this kiln factory where China paraded the slaves out in front of everybody, and it was a disgrace. They said, oh, we'll clean that up. Well, there's thousands, maybe tens of thousands of those plants, including political prisoner concentration camps that make goods for the United States market.